إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as we've mentioned last week, talking about this auspicious verse of the Quran, Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the footstool, we mentioned that this verse begins with Allah Azza wa Jal talking about Himself, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, that Allah, there is none worthy of worship as a deity except Him, and that He is al-hayy and He is al-qayyum. And we mentioned that these two names of Allah that also describe Him, that He is the living, of which has no beginning or end, and that He is the one who is self-subsisting. These are two names that are mentioned in three surahs of the Quran, of which the companion of the Messenger of Allah said that the dua of the Muslim is never rejected, that Allah will accept the dua of the abd, of his slave, if he uses these two names of Allah, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, that are mentioned in three surahs of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Taha. And then we also mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates from Himself any type of fatigue or slumber or sleep by His statement, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. And that from the scholars of Islam's statement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes can be categorized into two types, which are the affirmative type, ثُبُوتِيَّة, and those which are of a denial, or those which Allah negates, which are salbiyya. And here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, which is also a confirmation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy and al-qayyum. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, brothers and sisters in Islam, shows the tremendous ownership of Allah, that He has the mulk, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as part of our belief in His rububiyya, and we say we believe in tawheed rububiyya, tawheed uluhiyya, tawheed asma'i wa sifat, that part of the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Khaliq, He is the creator, Al-Malik, He is the owner, and He is Al-Mudabbir, or Mutasarrif Fihi, and that He is the administrator of all the affairs of His creatures. Part of this belief in Rububiyya, or the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He owns everything. And what it means that Allah owns everything, it means that He has complete ownership. Even though the creatures own some things, Allah has loaned us these things, and they're only a temporary ownership. We have our eyes, but the proof that Allah owns them, and we don't exclusively own them, is that we can't look at anything we want to look at. If we really own them, we will be able to look at anything we want to look at. So someone may say, well, I can look at anything I want to look at, and no one can stop me. No. But you are bound and limited by the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember that you're only supposed to look at certain things. You're only supposed to eat certain things. You're only supposed to wear certain things and say certain things and listen to certain things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, whatever's in the heavens and whatever's in the earth belongs to him. And he's the only one that owns everything and can do whatever he wants with whatever he owns. And you and I cannot do this. Also in this part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that not only that he is the owner of the heavens and the earth, that he's the owner of the heavens and the earth. Because as the scholars of Islam say, that the word al-ard, lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, though the word heavens is in the plural and the word earth is in the singular, it really means that Allah is the owner of the heavens and the earth. As the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seven heavens, one that is right above the other, and that he also created seven earths. And these are not the planets. They're not Venus. They're not Mars. They're not Jupiter. They're not Neptune. They're not Saturn. They're not Pluto. But seven earths outside of this earth. And they're also on top of each other. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever belongs, whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then, as this auspicious ayah states, that included in that which Allah owns are those things that we can see and we cannot see. That Allah has complete ownership. And along with this ownership is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala administrates that which he owns. Because there are many kings in the earth today. And there are many kings of the past. But just because someone is a king and he has a kingdom, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the administrator of that kingdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of whatever's in the heavens and the earth, and he's the administrator of everything that is in the heavens, everything that is above the heavens, everything that is below the heavens, everything that is in the earth, everything that is over the earth, under the earth, around the earth, those things that we can see, those things that we can't see, those things that are wet, those things that are dry. He administrates all the things that he owns, and he has no helper in his administration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only owns, but he administrates the very sperm that it is emitted from the man's organs into the womb of a woman. Every single drop of sperm anywhere in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala administrates the speed of that sperm. When it's going to meet that ovum. How long it's going to stay there. The leaves when they drop from the tree. How long it's going to take them to drop. Which way they move to the right. Which way they move to the left. How long it's going to take before it withers. What color it's going to be. Every single snowflake. Every single drop of rain. Anywhere that it drops from the time that Allah created the first drop to Yawmul Qiyamah. All this is administrated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's not confused like the human being. He's not unaware like the human being. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when he says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without his permission? None. None can intercede with Allah except by his permission. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the believers will be restrained on the day of resurrection so that they will be concerned about it and express a desire to find an intercessor with their Lord. That the human being, the Muslim, the kafir, all of the human beings, Arab and non-Arab, black and white, will be looking for a shafir, will be looking for someone who will make intercession for them, a shifa, that he may relieve them from the position in which they are placed. They will go to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, the first human being, and all of us will say, Anta Adam, you're Adam, the father of mankind, whom Allah created by his hand. And we know from the auspicious attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has two hands. His hands are not like our hands. His hands are not like the hands on a clock. His hands are like not like a monkey's hand. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. We should believe that Allah has hands, and they are real hands. How they are, we don't know. Not negating that he has hands, and not allegorizing these hands and saying they mean power. But Allah has actual hands. And to say that he doesn't have hands is a statement of kufr. And that Allah created Adam with one, not two, with one hand. Allahu Akbar. The father of mankind, the human being, will say to Adam, the one who he caused to dwell in the garden, to whom he made the angels bow down in obeisance, and whom he taught the names of everything, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, that he taught Adam the names of everything. Intercede, ishfa', intercede for me. This is the first human being that Allah created. The prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam, our father. And the human being will go to him to ask him to intercede, because he's of nubuwwah, he's of prophethood. So he will say, ishfa' lana, intercede for us with your Lord, so that he may relieve us from the position in which we are placed. Because the human being is going to be afraid for himself. But he, alayhi salatu wasalam, Adam, mentioned the sin that he committed by going to the tree. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him and his zawj, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And don't go near this tree, because you and your zawj will be of the wrongdoers who transgress the bounds. And he will mention the sin that he committed. And this sin, brothers and sisters in Islam, is relative to the status of a prophet. We should not equate the sin of the regular grassroots mu'min and mu'mina to the sin of a prophet. Alayhim salam. May Allah's peace be upon all of them. He will mention the sin he committed by eating of the tree of which Allah had made haram for him to do. And he will reply, Nafsi, Nafsi. And another narration, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi. Three times. I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for myself. Adam, alayhi salam, is afraid for his own soul. And then he will say, go to Nuh, go to Noah, the first messenger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the inhabitants of the earth, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we, the children of Adam, seeking shifa'ah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intercession, will go to Nuh, and he will mention the sin he committed by making a request of his Lord without knowledge, which is a sign for us, for those who have knowledge and deep understanding. And then he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for myself. And then he will say, I'm not in a position to do that for you. Go to Ibrahim. Go to Abraham. Khalil al-Rahman, the bosom friend of the beneficent, compassionate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will go to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And he will say, فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتُ ثَلَاثَ كَذِبَاتٍ. I told three lies. And we need to stop here to clarify this. For those of us who read this auspicious hadith from our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, that is authenticated by Imams al-Bukhari and others, we need to know firstly, brothers and sisters, that prophets do not lie. We need to understand the attributes of the prophets and messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that when this prophet said that he told three lies, that he did not lie when he said he told three lies. But we need to understand what it is meant by telling three lies. In Islam, there is something that is legal from the prophets of Islam who received it from Jibreel, who received it from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on what the scholars of Islam say, has allowed us to say things in a time of necessity, called tawriyah. And in this case, our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim, Khalilullah, the bosom friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, went on a journey one day with his wife Sarah alayhi salam, and some people, some men, criminals, fasiqoon, mujrimoon, zalimoon, kafirun, mushrikoon, baghoon, individuals who loved to rape and molest only the women who were married. If it was the girl who was unmarried, they would leave her alone. If it was the woman who was unmarried or virgin, they would leave her alone. So they asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who is she to you? He said, innaha ukhti. She's my sister. Did he lie? No, he did not. He told the truth. But to him, because of the auspicious, sublime manzila, the position of a prophet of Allah, the position of a rasul or a messenger of Allah, unlike us, he was afraid for himself to even say that, even though it is legal. So he called it kedib, a lie. But was she his sister? Of course. She was his sister in Islam. And the second so-called lie is when his father and the people of his village wanted to go and celebrate the worship of the idols. So when they asked him to join them in their shirk, which is also a lesson for us, when we are asked to participate in Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas in any form or shape, or Kwanzaa, we should tell the people, if we're afraid to tell them the absolute truth, what Ibrahim told them. But in Yisraqim, I'm sick. And what was he sick of? He was sick of their shirk, the sickness in his chest. And the third, of which the so-called lie Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told, is that when they returned from performing this worst, the worst of all sins, as shirk, as Luqman told his son, that surely as shirk is a zulmun azim, is the worst of sins. When they returned after he smashed up all of the idols and left the major one, they asked him, who did this to our idols? Who did this to our gods? As Luqman told his son, that surely as shirk is a zulmun azim, is the worst of sins. When they returned after he smashed up all of the idols and left the major one, they asked him, who did this to our idols? Who did this to our gods? He said, ask the big one. Ask the big one. And he meant, ask me, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course we know what they said, and the kuffar are always confounded and abashed. So the human being will go to Ibrahim and he will be afraid for himself, and he will tell the human being to go to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who came with the Torah, the one in whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kallama Allahu Musa taklima. Allah spoke to him directly. And some Muslims, either from shaitan or from their nafs, have been tricked to translate and recite the verse, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Musa spoke to Allah. وَلِيَعْبُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah forbid that we twist our tongues like this. No, Allah spoke to Musa directly. Because some people don't believe that Allah speaks. And we're talking about Muslims. I am not in the position, Musa will say, nafsi. I'm afraid for myself. This is the same Musa to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him near as a confidant. Then Musa will say the sin that he committed when he hit the man and took his life, involuntary manslaughter. And then he will say, go to Isa, go to the beloved. Isa, the Abd of Allah, the Nabi of Allah, the Rasul of Allah, Al-Masih, the one on whom the Muslims all believe, literally, not figuratively, not as a metaphor, not as a personification, not as a symbol, not as a symbol, literally believe, and you are not complete in your belief until you believe that Isa will descend. He, the actual Isa, will descend, not that a body of people will come, or some individual who claims to be the Jesus. No, Jesus himself will return, and your Iman is not complete unless you believe it. Isa, the human being will go to him, Allah's servant and messenger, the Ruh, and the word of Allah, and he, Jesus, will not say anything in any form or fashion about a sin. As Allah's Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, that the Muslim, when he goes to his wife for intimacy, he should make this dua, O Allah, protect me from this thing that shaitan puts inside people and whispers inside people. Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytan wa jannibna ash-shaytan ma razaqtana. Those things that you have provided for us, O Allah. Why? It's because every single child that comes from the womb of its mother is touched by shaitan. They receive the mess of shaitan. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Illa Isa ibn Maryam, except Jesus, the son of Mary. He's the only one that wasn't touched by shaitan. He will then say, I am not in the position to do that for you. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the servant whose former and latter sins have been forgiven by Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We, the children of Adam, will then come to me, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And I shall ask shafa'ah. I shall ask permission to enter my Lord's abode. When this is granted and I see him, for those Muslims who believe that we will not see Allah and that no one will be able to see Allah, I shall fall down in sajda. And Allah will leave me in this sajda as long as he wants. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَأُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without his permission? Who? And then he will then say that is Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who accepts tawbah, the one who accepts the istighfar, the seeking of forgiveness from anyone who asks for forgiveness, the one who will accept the intercession of Muhammad and the Quran for those who have memorized the Quran, or the ayat of the Quran for those who have memorized the ayat of Quran, or those righteous children whom Allah will allow their children who make dua for them in the dunya to also intercede in a type of intercession for them. He will say to Muhammad al-Mustafa al-Amin, Khatim al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, rise Muhammad. If you speak, you will be listened to. If you make intercession, it will be accepted. And if you make requests, it will be granted. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is very important for us to learn these things about the deen of Islam, specifically those things that concern shafa'ah, intercession. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Muslim that when the muezzin is calling the adhan, we should say what the muezzin says. We should repeat what the muezzin says, except when he gets to hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, then we should say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then after the muezzin repeats, finishes the adhan, then the Muslim should make the dua after the adhan has been called, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wah at-tamah was-salat al-qa'imah, ati Muhammadin al-wasilah wal-fadila, wab'athhu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adtahu. He said, whoever says this after the adhan is called, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory on me to intercede for them. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ونبينا وخليلنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. Then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will say, I shall then make intercession, but he will appoint a limit for me, after which I shall go out, bring them forth from hellfire, and bring them into paradise. It's only for the Muslimun, brothers and sisters. It's only for the Muslimun. Allah's Prophet has been given permission, because no one can intercede for anyone without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be given the ability to intercede for maybe you or me, and we should ask Allah, oh Allah, to give this to us and to make this for us. And we should implement that dua at the adhan, because the Prophet, inshaAllah, will do this for us by the izn or the permission of Allah. He said, I shall return a second time and ask permission to enter my Lord's abode. When this is granted, I see and see him, I shall fall down in prostration, and Allah will leave me as long as he wishes to do so. He will then say, rise, Muhammad. If you speak, you will be listened to. If you make intercession, it will be accepted. And if you make a request, it will be granted. I shall then raise my head. And I'd like to add, he will then raise his blessed head. Because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we've mentioned on many times in the past, that everything about the Messenger of Allah was blessed. Even his salava. When the companions watched him make wudu, they used to stand under him to catch the water dripping from his limbs for the barakah from the water that would drip off the auspicious body of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then I will raise my head and laud and extol, praise my Lord in a manner that he will teach me. I shall then make intercession, but he will appoint a limit for me, after which I shall go out, bring them forth from hell, and bring them into paradise. I shall then return a third time and ask the permission of my Lord again to enter into his abode. When this is granted, I see him and I shall fall down in prostration, and Allah will leave me as long as he wishes to do so. He will then say, rise, Muhammad. If you speak, you will be listened to. If you make intercession, it will be granted. And if you make a request, it will be granted. I shall then raise my head and extol and laud my Lord in a manner he will teach me. I shall then make intercession, but he will appoint a limit for me, after which I shall go out, bring them forth from hell, and bring them into paradise, till there will remain in hell only those restrained by Al-Quran. Meaning, those doomed to eternal punishment. He will then recite this verse. It may be that your Lord will raise you up in a praiseworthy position. He said, and this praiseworthy position is that which he promised your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, transmitted by Al-Bukhari in Muslim. So brothers and sisters, as we can see, that out of all of the Prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be the only one to be allowed to intercede to ask Allah to start the judgment. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he stated in a hadith collected by Tirmidhi with an authentic chain, that he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, I will have the most followers, and I am not proud. I will be the first to intercede, and my followers will be the poor Muslims. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said in conclusion, And we will continue next week, inshallah, with the remainder of this auspicious ayah. I shall be preeminent among the descendants of Adam on the day of resurrection, and I will be the first intercessor, and the first whose intercession will be accepted by Allah, and this is collected by Imam Muslim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكنن من الخاسرين.